together. So the 3 weeks, Rahman al-Islan, is upon us, and every year we hope that this time of year becomes a simcha, a time of rejoicing with the new base of Mikdash. And here we are, it is at the calendar date just about now, almost, we're in Bein HaShemashos officially still, settling in, is the 3 weeks in the calendar date of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. And we're not going to give a depressing topic shir, but that being said, it is important to be in touch with the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash. Always, one of the earliest sifim in Shulchan Aruch is that people should always be distressed over the fact that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. And although generally it's most easy to associate this time of year with the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, I actually want to focus on a slightly more positive spin on the mitzvah, not of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, but on the mitzvah of being Doresh Tzion, of looking forward and actively creating the Beis HaMikdash, of creating opportunities to return to Tzion. So as opposed to kind of focusing on the lack of the Beis HaMikdash, lacking of what we do have, there is another mitzvah that I would like to focus on this evening, which is rebuilding and using everything that we currently have to ideally, you know, make the new Beis HaMikdash. Stuart, I didn't see you earlier. Good to see you as well. Stuart Reuben, always great to see you. Okay, so let's start with the Parsha. We always try to associate, connect the Halacha from the Parsha. So let's right now take a look at the sources as we always do. Here we go. So we have a lot of Zionism in the Parsha, Parshas Pinchas. So number one, we start with Vatikra, Vatikrav, Nebenos, Slobchad, Ben Chever, Ben Gilad, Ben Machir, Ben Menashe, Mishmos, Ben Menashe, Ben Yosef. V'Eilish, Mos, Ben Osef, Machla, Noah, V'Choglo, Milka, V'Sirtza. So the classic argument of the Bnos Slavchad is, hey, Moshe, it's not fair. Just because our father passed away, so because we're women, we should be left out of getting a land in Israel. That's not fair. Why can't we also inherit land in Eretz Yisrael? And the truth is that Moshe consults with Hashem, and Hashem says they are right. And the halacha was instituted that they can inherit the land. Unbelievable. So what's the idea? The Torah stresses the fact that they come from Yosef, says Rashi. We already know the lineage. Once we say that they come from the tribe of Menashe, we know that Menashe comes from Yosef. Ah, so Elulomer lecha, Yosef chibev es haaretz, shenemar v'halisem es atzmosai. So Yosef at Tzadik so much loved Eretz Yisrael that he even begged, made his children swear to him, make sure my bones will be buried in Israel. So too, that Mida carried its way down to his descendants, uvnosav chibibu. So wow, that same love for Eretz Yisrael that was found in Yosef was present in the Benos Slavchad as well. So let's say the first Moshava Bnei Akiva Zionistic Makor in this week's Parsha, and I'm a proud Bnei Akiva graduate. So here it is, there it is, there the black on white. And it works, we know the Torah says, Hashem says to Moshe, again we're in Perek Chav Zayin Ches, you know, V'avartem es nachlas olavito, right? If there's no father in the picture, you give it to the daughter. Okay, now, what's the next episode in the Torah? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Alei al Har Ha'avarim. How is that, right? The bittersweet, you know, emotion-packed episode where Moshe is not able to enter Eretz Yisrael, but Hashem lets him look at Eretz Yisrael, right? It's almost like the big tease, right? If this is learned on a superficial level, it almost sounds cruel, where Hashem tells Moshe, listen, you can't go into Israel, but look on the mountain, Ur'ei es ha'aretz, and look at that land. So what's pshat? So Laman Ismachal Lakan, so why does this episode come right after the Benos Slavchad, says Rashi? Kevin Shamar Kodesh Baruch Hu Nasan Titein Lahem. So once Moshe was in charge of giving the land to the Benos Slavchad, Amar Osi, Tziva HaMakom Lahanchel, Shem Hosra HaGzeira, Vekanes La'aretz. So Moshe says, wait a minute, if I haven't been given the authority to give out the land of Israel, maybe that means I myself will have access to the land of Israel. And therefore, unfortunately, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Gezarti, Bimkoma Omedes. Nope. My gezer, my decree, Moshe, still stands. Namely, you can go onto the mountain, you can look, but you can't see, you can't actually enter. Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay, and he gives a very, very powerful mashal that it's like mashal amelech shegazar al bino. The king tells his son, Shalo Yichanes lepesach paltin, Shalo, that you can't go into the opening of my palace. So nechnas l'shar, the boy goes to the gate. V'u'acharav, l'chatzar v'u'acharav. So he gets closer and closer, l'traklin, to the corridor, the hallway leading up to the palace. V'u'acharav, however, kevan shabal li'kanes lekiton amar lo bini mikan ve'elach ata asur lahachnes. Wow. So Moshe has to be told ad kan, right? You can only get so far. You could come to the, you know, the front yard. You could come to, you know, the door, but you can't get too close. Meaning, i.e., we understand the concept that Moshe simply is not allowed to enter Israel. Now, learned though on a deeper level, what these two episodes illustrate is that there is a midah of wanting Eretz Yisrael. Both the Bnei Slavka and Moshe Rabbeinu stand out in their immense passion and desire to access land in Eretz Yisrael. Again, on a legal level, the Bnei Slavka just want land. And on a deeper level, on a spiritual level, again, the Midrashim go to town over here about what Moshe was really doing. And the Or HaChaim says Moshe's look was not a physical looking, it was actually a looking al pi neis. Again, we can analyze these parshas al pi, you know, Tanakh, and learn the Mefarshim. That's not what we're going to do this evening. But at a minimum, the parsha speaks about immense love for Eretz Yisrael and how appropriate that is as we embark on the 3 weeks where the theme of the day is connecting to the Chorban, connecting to Eretz Yisrael. The parsha so reminds us that these are what Jews should look like entering Eretz Yisrael. I'll tell you an amazing story, as I still have very much live with my Bnei Akiva roots, even though I work for NCSY in the summers. I feel very strongly and very sincerely that both Bnei Akiva and NCSY, they both had a real impact, a hashpa, on my education growing up. And I remember one summer in Moshava, I guess I'll even quote her by name. Maybe I told you this story already. The owner of the co-director of Moshava in Pennsylvania is Chana Spiegelman from Chashmonim with Alan Silverman, right? And one summer, Chana's daughter, Abigail, before the summer began, did I tell you a story yet or no? Does this sound familiar yet or no? No, okay. So once, the summer had not even started yet, she started to cry. And her mother said, Abigail, why are you crying? And she said, I literally cannot be outside of Eretz Yisrael. You know, when you grow up in a Bnei Akiva home in Chashmonaim and you're told that Eretz Yisrael is such a crucial part of Judaism, she literally emotionally could not come to terms with being in America for the summer. And even though Moshava, you know, has a taste of Eretz Yisrael, and she went home. She actually flew home that summer. And she couldn't be outside of Israel, which is a fascinating idea. So you know, once we're in that spirit of the parsha of the Bnei Slavka of Moshe Rabbeinu, I thought it's an interesting story. Again, whether you want to passing like that story or not, you know, I'm sure, you know, Stuart, you know, might say it's a nice story, but you know, halachically keep it up. Hey, you know, there's money issues, so I don't know what Stuart's thinking, but it's a nice story. It's a story that engages the heart if it doesn't engage the mind. Yeah, Stuart, what do you think? A nice story? What do you think? Wonderful story. Okay, that I'll get out of him. Okay, good. Okay, because last week Stuart really, you know, came swinging at me early. All right, here we go. So now let's learn about this mitzvah of being Dovesh Tzion, because with that introduction, that there is a need to love Eretz Yisrael, to have it on our minds. So there is a halachic concept known as being Dovesh Tzion, to constantly seek out Eretz Yisrael. Here it is. We know the halacha is on Sukkot, but Rishona Hayu Lulav Nital B'Mikdash Shiva. So what happened? The lulav was taken in the Mikdash all 7 days of Sukkot, of Midah Yom Echad. And outside of Yerushalayim, outside of the Beis Hamikdash, okay, we could learn this mission in depth. Ultimately, it was reserved for the Beis Hamikdash to take the lulav all 7 days. And outside of the Beis Hamikdash area, yeah, outside, we would only take the lulav on the first day of Sukkot. However, Mishachara Beis Hamikdash, once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Hiskim Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Shei Lulav Nitza B'Medina, Shiva Zecher Hamikdash. So ultimately, there's a new decree that we take what the lulav, not only the first day, even though we're outside of the Beis Hamikdash, even though we're outside of Yerushalayim, we take the lulav, as we know, all 7 days of Sukkot. Why? In order to remember the Beis Hamikdash, that they used to take the lulav all 7 days there. So too, we take the lulav all 7 days of Sukkot to remember what was in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, this is a Mishnah, Mesechta Sukkot, Daf Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph. Very nice. So ask the Gemara, Minalon de Avdinan Zecher Lemikdash. Okay, it's a very nice idea. Wow, Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai, you want to remember the Beis Hamikdash. But where do we see such a concept? So it's a pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yochanan de Amar Kras. I'm going to side margin. Where is this pasuk found in Yom Yoki? Ale Arucha Lach. I'm going to zoom in a little bit so I read the pasuk properly. Umimakosayach Erpech and Um Hashem. So I will heal your wounds, kinidicha, karulach, right, because you have been cast out. Tzion hi doresh ein la, and Zion has no one searching for it, right? So it's a very sad pasuk about how, you know, Yerushalayim is alone. So what does that mean? Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, from the very fact that it says, ki nidacha karu lach Tzion hi doresh ein la, doresh ein la, there is no one looking and searching out Yerushalayim, nichlal deba'i drisha. So the Navi Yirmiyahu is winking at us and saying, from the fact that it's sad that no one is searching out Yerushalayim, that means that, wink, wink, we should be trying to connect to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we should also do things halachically to connect to the Beis HaMikdash. Fascinating. Wild Chasam Sofer on this Gemara. The Chasam Sofer asks a very, very, very sharp question, as he would. He's the Chasam Sofer. So again, this Gemara he quotes, this is his Chidushim on Shas, literally on this daf, Mesechah Sukkah Mem Aleph Mem Aleph, the Chasam Sofer himself. Tzarich Hakira, Mimanavshach. I gam achar Chorban Bayis Rishon, Tiknu Hanavim Zecha Lemikdash. Wait a minute, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, you're one base of Mikdash too late. Imkin Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Lo Chidesh Klum. If this concept of Tzion Darish, you need to be Doresh Tzion, well, if that applied after the Chorban Bayis Rishon, that, well, we should have been shaking lulav a long time ago, 70 years in between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. V'ilo avdu zeichel lemikdash, and if they didn't institute a zeichel lemikdash after the Chorban Bayis Rishon, kasha, my time, why not? Hatzion bayi drisha. Wow. Anyone have why would we only institute this law of being Doresh Tzion for the Bayis Sheni and not for the Bayis Rishon? Anyone want to suggest an answer to a frem for a kasha of the Chasam Sofer? Very good, right. So Sam is saying, well, maybe they waited 7 years, meaning the question being, at which point was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's to kind of institute it, right? If it was in right after the Korban.
There was Yirmiyahu telling them it would be 70 years. There was nothing like that after.
Aha, that's a very, very sharp point. I mean, even those who were exiled after Korban Bayis Rishon knew that it was going to be a limited exile. Very good, right? So even if they weren't waiting around for 70 years to see how long it would take, the end was never near. And that's a fantastic point, Sam Heller. Excellent. I like that point a lot. Right, so that's a nice answer. So for some reason, the Chasam Sofer thinks that even 70 years, though, is a long time, and therefore, why not be Doresh Tzion for 70 years? 70 years is a long time. It's a lifetime. You know, right? So that's his question. Now, granted, Sam, I hear your answer. It makes a lot of sense to me. Nonetheless, the Chasam Sofer does answer the question. He goes into a little bit of a deeper. Did anyone else have a suggestion before I go through the Chasam Sofer? Okay, so the Chasam Sofer himself says a wild idea. He says, "V'hinei achar Chorban Bayis Rishon lo asu drisha l'tzion." Says, "No, you have to understand the cause and the effect. They messed up during the Galus. That's when the error took place. When Yirmiyahu is criticizing people, right? So he's talking to the people who did not properly mourn the first base of Mikdash. Al kein lo zachu ligu'ula shlema. Therefore, when they got the Bayis Sheni, it wasn't the real deal. I'm going to skip a few lines. There's a deep idea that he's working with. I'm going to skip over for the sake of clarity. Uvechorban Bayis Sheni nis'ore Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai al zel asos drisha litzion v'zecha lemikdash kedei sheniske ligu'ula shlema. So that's the whole point. Meaning, because the Jews of the exile after Bayis Rishon didn't properly connect to Tzion, therefore Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, no, we're going to get it right this time. This time, we're going to experience the Gullus in the proper way, always connecting ourselves to the Beis HaMikdash. Wow. And it's specifically to rectify that error made by the Jews in the first exile. Fascinating. So Sam Heller, what do you think of that?
Same 70 years I was working on. So.
Okay. Yeah, right. So Sam Heller feels that he...
No, I see what he's saying. You know,
right.
You have to long for it to get it.
Right. That's exactly what he's saying.
He's saying that they didn't long for it the first time. I mean, they could have just taken the granted 70 years and we'll be back.
Right. Right. So the answer...
So, for whatever reason they did, they took it for granted.
Right. So the Chasam Sofer, in essence, is saying...
What another is saying is that they took it for granted that they would be back.
Right.
You
That's a, yeah, for sure. And he's so he's saying that.
And we can't do that.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure. That's for sure. So he's saying that Sion always required someone to be Doreshit, and they should have been Doreshit more in Bavel, and they messed up. Now, when we speak about being Doresh Sion, would you say that's like a depressing thing or an optimistic thing? You know, what's the vibe?
Glass
full. For everyone saying full?
It's half full.
Yeah. But I'm wondering why you ended the previous Gemara one sentence too soon. You would have had more ammunition.
Dr. Rubin, you're always keeping me on my toes.
Really? Look at the next sentence there. Yom Haneh. What's that? Not the Rishas.
Why not?
So, yeah, Yom Haneh, Pulo Aser, because of the Hairi, Banabes, and Mikdash.
Oh. Very good. So you're saying that colors this halakha, that it's more, also more optimistic. Is that where you're going with this?
It buttresses your what you're trying to get across.
I would have had more ammo. I like that, Stuart. You're always helping me. Thank you so much. And that's a very good point. Now again, technically speaking, that's the next halakha, but you're right. Yeah, it's the same mission. Yeah, I like your point a lot. I like your point a lot, and I will take it. Take it with me, and I will quote you maybe next time I give this year. The first time I gave this year, I messed up. But Stuart Rubin put me in my place and pointed out that I should have read one more line. But Stuart, it's a fantastic line. I hear what you're saying. It's a fantastic point. Okay, now Rav Schechter, in his Mipnine HaRav, has what's called the Kuntra Sviras HaOmer. So on page, I don't know what page this is in the Sefer. What page is this? What page is that? Resh Pei Ches. So I think it's two pages, right? The two pages, Resh Pei Ches and Resh Pei Zion. So Resh Pei Zion, he's dealing with the question of the Bala Maor, why we don't recite the Brach of Shehecheyanu when we start the new mitzvah of Sviras HaOmer. After all, it's a new mitzvah. Why not recite Shehecheyanu? And the Bala Maor says, well, it's a depressing mitzvah. When we count the Omer, we're actually highlighting the fact that we don't have the Korban Omer, and it's actually very sad that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So why would we say Shehecheyanu v'gimenu l'zman hazeh when it's in essence a depressing time period? Now, Rav Schechter points out that because of this distinction of the Bala Maor, he says you can find out there are two things. He says, Lefamim tikkunu chazal, this is from the Rav, this is Rav Soloveitchik's Torah. Sometimes chazal made mitzvahs habetorah zecher lemikdash, ulefamim zecher lechorban. Ding, 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 ding. So there's two ways to remember Yerushalayim. There's the exciting way, reliving the base of Mikdash. That's like the lulav, the zecher lemikdash. And there are two, and then the sad way is, Zecher lechorban. It says, why don't we take lulav kol shiva? Look at the Gemara. It says zecher lemikdash. You know, Rabbi Yochanan. I gotta get this yellow stuff out of here. Gotta hit that hand. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? The Amar Krat Sion Dorish Ein La. Dorish Ein La Mechla Dabay Drisha. Okay, you need to be Dorish Sion. That's not a sad thing. You have to be Dorish Sion. Stay connected to Israel. Yeah, you put a picture of Yerushalayim in your living room, except you stay connected to Israel. That's not depressing. However, we the more famous perhaps halachos are learned from Gemara Rabba Basra, you know, Imishkachech Yerushalayim Dishkachemini, you should have part of your house that's not painted, we put the ashes on the chasen, you shouldn't really, unfortunately, be laughing, Bezman Hazeh, all, you know, like a all-out blown laugh, like a comedy club, is somewhat controversial in Halacha, because after all, you know, who's to say that we are allowed to be so happy? That's why in Yerushalayim at a wedding, they only have a drum set and singers, they don't have a full band. You know, in the Minhag Yerushalayim is to not have music live at a wedding. And that's what we're going to be experiencing in the Avelus of the 3 weeks. But I'm actually not going to focus on that. Ironically, even though we're starting the 3 weeks literally as we speak, it's Mamash Yisrael Kochavim on the dot right now. But ultimately, there's another side of the coin. The other side of the coin is that you can also be Zecher LeMikdash. You could remember Yerushalayim through mitzvahs and reliving the Beis HaMikdash. And this is a halachic reality. To be Dorish Sion, it's a little bit more of an optimistic one, more easy to focus on. Now, granted, on Tisha B'Av, Rahman al-Assam, you know, we hope to not have to experience Tisha B'Av in Avelus this year, but those mitzvahs will get the attention they deserve. I think everyone knows that, you know, weddings and haircuts are you know, no longer allowed unless there's a real halachic heter from this point on. And you know, we'll learn the kinos if we need to. But what about the tone of the Benos Slavchad? Are we in touch with that tone, that drive for Eretz Yisrael, the more optimistic, so to speak, Zecher LeMikdash, the being Doresh Tzion? So the very last Mishnah, Mesechus Smachos, or the Brisa Maseches Malchus, I'm not sure even how to properly refer to it. And I guess that's not really a Mishnah. It's Maseches Ketanos. I guess the proper term would be a Brisa here. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amar Lehen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Atem Gramtem Lahachar V'Sbeisa. You guys caused my Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. Ulahaglos as Banai, and I had to send my children out of Israel. So therefore, what? Hey, you Shoalim Bishloma. So therefore, try to basically backpedal. Try to find Eretz Yisrael again. V'ani nosen lachem shalom. And I will give it to you. Ma'atam shalu shalom Yerushalayim. If you are shoel shalom Yerushalayim, if you are seeking, trying to make a hello, a greeting, bridge that gap between Yerushalayim, what follows? Yehi shalom b'cheilech. Unbelievable. I.e. those people who are Doresh Tzion, Hashem says, I want you to be Doresh Tzion, and I'll give it to you if you're Doresh. And what's so powerful about this price of Maseches Machlos is that it gives both the half-empty side of the coin and the half-glass full side of the coin in the same breath, right? That you guys caused the gullus. So don't mourn over it. Don't just sit on the floor and cry and say kinos. Build the base of Mikdash. Make it happen. Get back to Israel. Be shoel shalom Eretz Yisrael. Unbelievable idea. So I think that's a very powerful juxtaposition of Torahs. Now, famously, who is the Doresh Tzion? Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. Now, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer goes down history, one of the earliest Zionists who was a Orthodox Jew, Talmud of the Nesivos HaMishpat, Rabbi Akiva Eiger. This guy needs no haskamas from anybody, yet he was ahead of his time. And when we speak about religious Zionist movements, they ironically are taking place after him a little bit. And what he saw in his time that were very wealthy philanthropists who were willing to donate to the cause, and he literally writes a sefer, and a part of that sefer is a fundraiser. He's saying that there should be funds allocated towards getting out of Europe, going to Israel. It's an amazing sefer, and it's a classic, you know, dati lu'umi work. And he lived, you know, well before, you know, Rav Kook even. And we're talking about, if you would Google Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, he'll be associated with Rav Kook, even though we're talking about two men who literally never, you know, I don't even, were they on the earth at the same time? Probably not, right? I don't even know if they came close to overlapping. We're talking about different centuries, ultimately. So the Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer writes that people get the Mashiach all wrong. Now, granted, there is a machlokas we've shown about how the Beis HaMikdash will come, and the Chasam Sofer, who I was just reading, he actually references the concept of the third Beis HaMikdash just falling out of the sky in that very same piece I was reading. Even though I did not read that particular part, but Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer is saying, no, Geulas Yisrael, asher nachnu mechakim la, this Geula that we're waiting for, al yachshov hachoshev, ki pitom yered Hashem yisbarach shemo mishamayim arts. Do not think that it's going to fall out of the sky. Rather, what laat laat tatzmiach keren Yeshua. It's going to be in stages, slow process. Now that is actually a Gemara from Maseches Sanhedrin. It's a machlokas how Mashiach will come. Either it'll come slow riding on a donkey or very quick like a shooting star, something along those lines. And both Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer and also a little bit later in history, the author of the Imaban Smecha, Rav Teichtal Zatzal, also basically wrote that we have to now embrace the reality that Mashiach is coming in natural means. People will be moving to Israel slower, but over time the Torah will be built up there and the Jewish people will be found there. And these people were writing in the 1800s, the 1900s, and it's so remarkable how true their words are. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't believe that Mashiach could come tomorrow, right? We know that a fundamental belief in Mashiach is that it could come every single day. So I'm not saying to give up on that Chas V'Shelem, it's one of the Igam Yikari Amuna, yet they are writing that we have to live in Olam Hazeh, assuming that the way Mashiach will come is with man's intervention, right? This is the classic debate, right? In what famous Jewish book between Danny's father and Reuven's father?
Rabbi the Chosen.
Oh, Rabbi, very good. Rabbi Weintraub did not miss a beat on that, right? You know, the Chosen, maybe the most classical Jewish book, novel at least, in the past, I don't know, 100 years. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but it's certainly up there. So we know that, right, ironically, the boy named Danny is a chassid, right, from Williamsburg, whatever, and his father tells him, son, never speak to this kid Reuven, because Reuven's father is a Zionist who thinks that we need to be active in building Yerushalayim. And Danny is told by his Hasidish father, don't speak to Reuven, you know, his father's controversial, etc. You know, so this is the age-old debate about whether man is supposed to partake in the Geula process. And the idea is that Tzion needs a Dorish. And again, the two sides go together. We know the famous Gemara, Mikan Amru Kolam is Abel al Yushalayim. If you mourn over Yushalayim, Zocha V'roa B'Simchasa. So ultimately, the point I want to leave you with is that while we're entering the 3 weeks, it's not meant to merely be a depressing time of year. It is true that once the month of Av comes in, we should diminish our simcha, whatever that might mean halachically. But it also is a charge to think for the future of how are we connecting to the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis. And I don't know whether it's visiting Eretz Yisrael, donating money, tzedakah to Eretz Yisrael, or again, on the most dramatic level, making Aliyah ourselves, or maybe supporting our children or grandchildren who want to make Aliyah. The name of the game needs to be that we are active in building up that country right now. And one of the major takeaways that many have taken from COVID-19 is Aliyah. Again, I personally don't necessarily see myself moving there within a year. B'derech HaTeva, you know, I don't know if I'll ever get there, B'derech HaTeva, you know, in my personal profession, you know, unless I drop my profession, frankly, or someone, you know, decides to pay me for some reason a lot of money, more than everyone else in my profession. But B'derech HaTeva, I personally don't know how I'm going to get there. At the same time, there's a way to connect Eretz Yisrael in whatever way you can. And I hope that we can view this time of year with immense Kedusha, as the Bnos Slavcha did and as Moshe Rabbeinu did, that we yearn just to get as close as we can. And as we try to build Eretz Yisrael, we should be zocha to really see it. B'tzion with the base of Migdash, because Tzion does need a Dorish, and we could all be Dorish Tzion together as a community.